And let's welcome back to the Tuned In Podcast. Go. How are you feeling?
Oh man, I'm feeling so good. We're happy to announce this is now a hockey podcast.
Welcome to the Tuned In Utah Hockey Club Podcast. I mean Jazz.
Yes, of course. Yeah. Oh man, I'm doing so good. I don't know if I'm enjoying the snow, but I guess it was inevitable. It's November, so
right.
Coming. But how
right,
are
this
you
is
doing?
The first snow waking up today, seeing it come down. Of the year, so yeah. That's exciting. I'm sure other places have already got their snow, but now we're just getting our first one.
Yeah, it shouldn't be too. It was supposed to snow all night, but I woke up this morning. It's snowing right now, but it doesn't seem like there's a lot of snow on the ground, so maybe snow came a little later.
Well, we got a lot of good things in this episode today. Absolutely. We got two wins this week from the Jazz, so shout out to them.
Yes, sir.
We'll break down all the games and where the Jazz kind of stand right now. Talk a little bit about the Emirate Cup that's starting, the in-season tournament. Just some big scoring nights from some guys, the new city jerseys, and then just get into some local sports.
Don't forget to check out our past episodes. Last week's episode was really good. Check it out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. You can also find us on Instagram at Tuned In Jazz. That's also where you can comment or contact us, leave your opinion. We'd love to hear what you think as well. And this is episode 51 of Tuned In Jazz.
All right, so we got our second win against the Spurs last Saturday. It's been a week, but we since we recorded, this game happened, and we won by 1 point in a, I would say a thriller.
Yeah, not bad.
Got you on your feet a little bit.
Yeah, not bad.
Do you think the Jazz were going to win this game?
I think
we both predicted a win on this.
This is the win
right?
We both predicted, I think... Had a little bit different. We both predicted a pretty close win, though, which is kind of what this game was. It was pretty tight. I thought it was a good win. The John Collins, he's just been hooping.
Right.
He's been playing really
That'll
well.
That'll be a theme for the rest of the game, too.
Yeah.
Speaking of last night against the Mavericks, the Suns, he was
it's
hooping.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Colin Sexton had 23, 8 for 13. I thought he played really well. Isaiah Collier started, too. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Good for him.
Yeah, we're talking about them hopefully playing the young guys. They definitely played the young guys.
They were listening. They heard our podcast.
Popovsky and Collier both played a decent amount this week.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, I'll also say from this game, just I liked the leadership from Jordan Clarkson. And I think I noticed that, especially last night against the Mavericks too, where Jordan Clarkson, he's kind of taking over a little bit as like the point guard in some instances, because he knows what plays to make. He's had the experience, and so hopefully we start to put that more on Keontae and some of the young guys. But them being able to see Jordan Clarkson take over in the fourth quarter and lead us to a win is something special, and it's hopefully that boosts some Jordan Clarkson trade value around the league too. They know that he's still a great player.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's kind of a hard balance, Jazz, right now, because you like, in order to develop, you can't just go completely young. You have to have guys like Jordan Clarkson and Patty Mills and even John Collins. I guess he's not really that old, but a little older.
Definitely more veteran than everybody else, yeah.
But these guys, they're showing what professionals look like. They just play hard. Even if you're 2-8 or 2-7 at that point, you just play hard. You just play your game. So that's good experience, good stuff to see.
Yeah, Wemby didn't get a 5-on-5 this time, thankfully.
No.
Not every time he plays the Jazz. Then we played the Suns. We did lose this game. Devin Booker had himself a night, but we only lost by 8. So it wasn't like we got blown out.
It wasn't too bad.
John Collins obviously had a great game here. But I guess with him or anybody else, what stuck out to you?
Yeah, other than John Collins, I'm just really happy for Kyle Filipowski, 18 points.
He showed his unique skill set, right?
Absolutely.
Being able to rebound and pass.
He had two blocked shots as well, which was really interesting. Yeah, got some rebounds. I just think he's carving out some minutes for himself more regularly, which is exciting. That's like what you want to see from your 30th pick, you know?
Right.
Like, it's pretty early for a late first round. Or no, was he our second round pick? He was our second round pick.
I
was
start of the second round, so I was kind of the same as late first round, but yeah. He's doing great. Absolutely. And I love how he reminds me of not exactly the same play style, but he reminds me of Kelly Olynyk in the sense that he can be that hub or that passer.
Yeah.
And I think Will Hardy mentioned this about the Mavericks game in the post press conference. But he's been excited about Filipowski's defense, which is something we weren't really as keen on from him coming out of college. But he's played pretty well. And then on the Mavericks game, he got caught. Luka was picking him out every possession on the switch. And he, I mean, who's going to always do well against Luka, right? Nobody.
Yeah.
But he held his own for a few possessions, and I think we won the game because of his defense on Luka, making it a difficult shot.
Absolutely.
Keeping his ground, right? So I'm impressed with his defense.
Build-wise, he's very like Lowry Markin, and not necessarily play style, but just he's basically a seven-footer who plays like a wing, can guard all five pretty much. I mean, he might struggle against some centers, but... one thing I'm noticing a trend throughout all three of these games, but especially this game, Cody Williams, he only had 15 minutes, but he had 0 points. He had 2 assists, I guess, but I'm pretty sure he had 0 points in all of our games this week.
He had 3 points against
Mavericks. Do you think it's like, I know it's pretty early. We're only, 11 games in. Do you think we have reason to be worried at this point?
I don't think we should be like too worried, but I think a little bit of worry is okay.
Yeah.
Because I mean, we want him to take more shots and be more aggressive because he's our lottery pick.
Right.
He's supposed to be the best rookie.
Yeah.
But I'm sure like Kyle Filipowski looks better than him right now by a good margin.
Absolutely.
He's been starting games. So is Cody Williams. He's been starting games too, but Cody Williams just kind of seems like he's just out there playing. And what I will say about Cody, to be devil's advocate, is he is fitting in well.
Yeah.
Where he doesn't need the ball in his hands. He's playing a role.
That's true.
And so you could maybe try to gear your expectations for him more towards like role player.
Yeah.
At least to start out. And then we'll see after that. So I'm kind of just hoping for him to just carve out that consistent role in the rotation where maybe we could count on like 10 points a game from him or something like that in the future. But yeah, right now he's not really doing much on offense. So I think there's a little bit of reason to worry. So
yeah, I think so. I also think we sometimes forget just how weird of a draft class this was. Like looking around the NBA, there's just like, it's just hard to like, there's just a bunch of guys in that spot where they're trying to like carve out like who they are in the NBA, right? Like we saw Stephon Castle. He's been playing really well a couple of games.
Some 20 point games.
Yeah, Zach Edey's been playing pretty well, unfortunately.
Risa Shar, he had a 30 point game. He's been doing really well.
I've seen Alex Sarr has had a couple good games. He's just had a couple of really bad games. So I guess it's just a patience thing. This draft class is just kind of weird. It's kind of up and down a lot, you know. So,
and then I think another thing, Jordan Clarkson just had a good game against Mavericks too.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if you saw the meme where right before he hit a big shot or made the big pass, he just had like a mean mug face.
Yeah.
That's been going around Jazz Twitter, Reddit.
He's such an animal, dude. I swear.
Yeah. Just caption it like, that's when you knew you messed up.
it's
when he makes that face. So
yeah, you might as well throw in the towel at that point once you see that face.
Yeah, you know you're gonna lose at that point. So, but great that we got some wins. We need a few wins. We don't need to win too many games, right? We want a bad pick, or we want a great pick.
Yeah.
We need a couple wins here and there sprinkled through to make us feel good about this season.
Yeah, absolutely. Our score differential between me and you didn't change much this week. I think I gained a 2-point greater lead, but we'll update. You're at 157. I'm at 139. But we've seen how fast this can flip. Especially we have four games this week, so it could flip even more.
I think my worst prediction was Mavericks. I thought we were going to lose by 10.
Yeah.
And then your worst prediction, you thought we were going to lose by 21 to the Suns, but it wasn't that bad.
No, not too bad.
So, I mean, I think we're getting more aggressive with our margins. So that could be a good thing or a bad thing. We'll see.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting doing it this way because you, like, especially for you, you have to catch up by being bold. And I almost feel like I need to, like, be bold so that I can just, like, put it away, you know, so it's kind of crazy, but yeah, it's kind of fun that we were doing it. I kind of like it. So, I guess I'll go to player of the week. I don't think this will surprise anybody, but I think Mr. John Collins has earned
himself. Two weeks in a row.
I think so. I was really trying to, like, I was thinking, man, I can't give it to two weeks in a row.
You're already having voters fatigue from one week.
I mean, yeah, but like you look at the stats this week and you're just like, I mean, 28-9 against the Mavs, 29-10 against the Suns.
Right.
I think he still had 15 points against the Spurs. Just an incredible week. We were talking, we were hanging out yesterday. We were talking more about, like, is our mind changing on is John Collins a part of the Jazz future? And I will say I'm warming up to the idea just a little bit. I think there might be a role for him. I still have some questions, but either way, it's helping his draft or his trade stock. So,
yeah, again, I just think he's doing a great job being available on offense.
Absolutely.
And for lobs or passes, and then kind of creating his own shot once he gets his guy on the block or in the high post. So.
Yeah, he's sneaking up on 20 points a game scoring. He's 18-7 right now, but if he keeps having these 28, 29 point games, he could be a 20 plus point a game scorer pretty soon. So,
yeah, shout out to John Collins, 2-time player of the week.
Absolutely. What a legend. All right. Well, 4 upcoming games this week.
All road games. We're going on the LA road trip, playing all the LA teams except the Warriors. But
yeah, it should be interesting. This time we're not going to LA to play in season tournament. Well, one of them is, but not all of them. we're gonna start with the Kings on Saturday.
Today.
Kings or today? Sorry, yes. As of the time we're recording this, it's today. Kings, kind of interesting. De'Aaron Fox dropped 60 last night. I know we were going to talk about this
absolutely
later.
Absolutely crazy. He's but on my fantasy team, so thank you to De'Aaron.
Dude, I think you might be cooking me in fantasy this week. We're playing each other in fantasy, so that's very unfortunate. but he dropped 60, and the Kings still lost.
Yep.
So how are you feeling about game against the Kings this week?
Well, the Kings' home record is 3-3.
Oh, interesting.
And their road record is 4-3. So they're basically 500 on the season. And I feel good about their chances just because they did play such a great game last night. They're sticking at home to play the Jazz for the second night of their back-to-back. I don't know. I'm going with Kings that the Kings will win by 10.
By 10, okay.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you. I think this is going to be a tough one. I think Jazz will lose by 5. Even if they lost, they did lose to Minnesota last night, to their credit. So it's not like they lost.
It was an overtime game, too.
It wasn't like to the Pistons or to the Jazz or something. But it was to Minnesota, who's a good team. But I say Jazz lose by 5. I think Kings are going to want to light that beam, so.
It's true.
Give them the win.
Then back to back, we play the Clippers on Sunday night.
Yes, sir.
Clippers have been also 500. They're 6-7 on the season right now. They have a 3-4 home record.
Interesting.
I don't think Kawhi is coming back for a while, so it'll pretty much be James Harden and Zubac and Norman Powell, who's been on fire to start the season. He's averaging like 20 to 25 points
Hooping,
a game.
Yeah.
So, that being said, who do you... And, of course, the Intuit Dome.
Yeah.
The fans are going to be yelling at us at all the free throws, so our free throw percentage might tank a little bit.
Yeah.
But who do you got in this game?
Yeah, that's actually what I was thinking about. The Intuit Dome seems... It doesn't seem like, from what I can tell, they're not really selling out yet, probably because their team's not very good right now. But I do think that for a young team, that like wall for free throws and
you're right.
That's going to be a pretty crazy environment. It is a good experience, but I think it's going to be tough. So I'm going to say it's a close game, but we're going to lose by two. I think it'll be a fourth quarter decision. Yeah. What do you think?
Similar, but I got lose by four.
Lose by four. Okay.
So
nice.
I think it'll come down to like that 4-point gap at the end of the game. So
yeah, I could respect that. Okay, and then we stay in LA for our final game in LA against the Lakers, the Kings of California. If the Warriors haven't taken that title at this point, what are you feeling? This is our second in-season tournament game, our second group stage game, at least. What are you feeling about this game?
Well, the Lakers are hot right now.
Yeah, they are.
I don't know if you know, but they're on a 4-game winning streak. They beat the Sixers, Raptors, Grizzlies, and Spurs, which are all not very good teams.
Yep.
They play the Pelicans tomorrow, who are injured crazily, and then they play us. I don't know. They have a cupcake schedule.
Yeah.
And I'm including the Jazz in that. I know we're not doing great. But I think they're going to take advantage of it. I got Lakers win by 8.
Ooh, interesting. Yeah, I pretty much agree with you. The Lakers are 8-4 right now, which is fifth in the West, which is just crazy. The West is just wild, as it always is. But I think Jazz lose by 10 in this one.
Okay.
I could see it being like kind of a blowout early, and then, you know, we get to see some of the bench, and we cut it down to 10, but, you know, it's still a 10-point win. I'm going to call that one.
Okay, and then our last game this week, we got 4-1 week, which is crazy. Thursday, we're still on the road, but we're going to San Antonio Spurs.
Ooh.
Played a lot of Spurs this season.
Yes, we have.
So you've got a lot of past games you can draw upon. I think we've won 2 out of 3 matchups.
I think you're right. Yeah.
So, but this one will be in San Antonio on Thursday. So what are you thinking for that?
Oh, man. I think that this one is also going to be a loss. I hate to predict all Jazz losses. But on the road in San Antonio is going to be tough. Wemby's just getting hotter and hotter as the season goes on. He had, you know, 50 the other night. So I'm going to say Jazz lose by 7.
Right on. And I'm actually doing correction. We're 1-1, right?
1-1, okay.
So this would be a third
game. It's our third meeting. 12 games into the season. Or well, I guess it'll be like 15 games in the season. We've already played them 3 times. It's pretty crazy.
I've got win by 5.
Win by 5, okay.
We beat them last time. The Spurs are not a contender.
No, unfortunately.
So I think we can pick up a win. We'll come off the 3 losses in a row. We're like, all right, this is our game, and I think we'll beat them.
Yeah, that'll be good. I mean, we're on pace. We're on pace for what we should be doing, which is
yeah,
trying to get Cooper Flagg. So I respect the 1-3 prediction. I am predicting 0-4. And I feel bad about that, but, you know, it is what it is.
Hey, you got to be real.
That's right.
But it'll be a good week. Lots of road games, lots of games to watch.
Yes, and sir.
A little bit of in-season tournament going on now.
Yeah.
So our game on Thursday, or Tuesday rather, will be an in-season tournament game against the Lakers. But we played another one against the Suns that was in-season tournament.
Yep.
But do you want to break down our group that we're in for the tournament?
Yeah, just a reminder for you if you don't remember who's in the Jazz group. We have Oklahoma City, the Lakers, the Suns, the Spurs, and the Jazz.
Tough group.
That's a really tough group. I think this group's a little top heavy. As far as the NBA standings go, the Thunder are first in the West. I was going to say best in the NBA, but the Cavs are better record-wise. And then Suns and Lakers are pretty much, they're 9-4 and 8-4. And then, of course, the Spurs, who are probably a little closer to us. Just a really tough group. Right now, Oklahoma City's point differential through one game is plus 16.
Wow.
And them and the Lakers are the only ones with a positive.
Unfortunately, they had Chet Holmgren go down with injury.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're still looking great.
That's going to be tough. Hartenstein, I've heard, has been warming up again.
Okay.
Which would be big, especially if Chet's out.
Who do you think is going to win the group?
My prediction is that the Lakers or the Suns will win it. I think, like we saw last year, I don't think that the Lakers ended up being a very good team, but like they're the type of team that would take something like the in-season tournament more seriously. Maybe the Suns as well. So I could see them in the end winning it.
I'm thinking Devin Booker is made for this.
You think
so? I think he might be one of the stars of this tournament once it gets down to like the knockout stage. So I'm thinking the Suns went out the group, and I think they might even win the whole thing.
Yeah. Dude, Devin Booker, that guy just does not get his flowers for the player that he is. Like, every time I watch him, I'm just like in awe of how smooth he plays. And like, the game just looks so easy to him. Like, somehow he makes the game look even easier than Kevin Durant does, which is just crazy. So I could respect that. What do you think, looking at all the groups, which one do you think is like the toughest group? Do you see one that stands out to you that...
I think probably our group might be one of them.
Yeah.
But the... let's say the Nuggets group. Because, I mean, they got the Nuggets, the Mavericks, the Warriors, the Grizzlies, and the Pelicans.
Yeah, that's a tough group.
I think the Pelicans are the only team that's like maybe an easier win because they're hurt. Yeah. If they weren't hurt, they're not an easy win.
They're 1-0 in their group right now, too, which is interesting. Yeah. But yeah, I agree with you.
The Mavericks are no slouch. They were in the conference finals. Nuggets won a championship recently. Warriors look like they're on fire. And then Grizzlies are like a playoff team right now too, so like basically
wild.
Five playoff teams and a couple like contenders, I'd say too. So I'm glad we're not in that group, but we're still in a pretty tough group for us. So.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, the West is just so crazy right now. Like looking at the standings of the Western Conference, even outside of the play-in, like 13 of the 15 teams are like around 500. I mean, I guess Trailblazers are 5-8, but they're like within reach.
Yeah.
Pelicans and Jazz are 4-9 and 3-8. They're not doing too great. But the West is just absolutely wild. In the East.
Yeah, like we were saying, the 11th seed in the West would be like the 4th seed in the East.
Yeah, that's
crazy.
It's insane.
Yeah.
We say that every year, but it just keeps getting crazier every year in the West. Like, it's just...
Yeah, this might be the worst year for the East that we've seen. Yeah. But maybe it'll shift, but as of right now, I don't know what the NBA is going to do. Maybe they need to do some realignment or something and send the Grizzlies to the East.
I think that helps the Jazz too, especially if we're tanking. Like if our conference is just stacked and we play those teams most often, we'll take it. So
we'll have to play them. Some in-season tournament games that have been pretty exciting. I don't know if you saw the Hawks beat the Celtics in TD Garden without Trae Young.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
I did see that.
Dyson Daniels had 28 points, 7 assists,
Sheesh.
6 steals. Absolutely crazy. Jalen Johnson had a triple-double. That was pretty exciting. That came down to the wire.
Yeah.
And then there's been some other pretty exciting games, too. I want to say Jalen Brunson last night. He had a pretty awesome game where he hit like the game-winning shot with like 10 seconds left to beat the Nets. Then Mikal Bridges got the block on the other end.
Yeah.
Some revenge against the Nets for trading him away.
Yeah.
So that was a pretty exciting game. And then there's just been exciting games in general. Steph Curry versus Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
That's another one. Did you see he hit the shot at the end and then put Klay Thompson to sleep?
Yeah. It was insane.
That Klay might Thompson. Be the best celebration there is in the NBA. Steph.
I thought it was cool, the tribute. Did you see they gave out captain's hats to everybody?
Yes.
It's so cool. He deserves it. I kind of get tired sometimes of the everybody gets a tribute video thing, but Klay Thompson's one of those players that you're like, you respect that. That's 4 championships. Right. You don't get those without Klay Thompson.
He's probably going to get his number retired there, no doubt.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That honestly is probably the highlight of the whole thing so far. Yeah. Just being able to see Steph Curry at his peak and Klay Thompson come back to Golden State is pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's so hype. Speaking of teams that are hot, will the Cleveland Cavaliers ever lose a game?
That's a good question. I don't think so.
Because currently they're 14-0.
They look really good.
They are looking very nice. I will say.
Let me say their schedule. So they're 14-0, right?
Yes.
They play the Hornets on Sunday. They should win that.
Yeah, they'll keep coming.
But they play the Celtics on Tuesday in TD Garden for the NBA Cup game as well. So I think that'll be the game where it's kind of going to determine if the streak's going to continue.
Yeah.
But if they do somehow beat the Celtics, after that they got Pelicans who are hurt. They got the Raptors who are awful.
Yeah.
They got the Hawks who aren't that great twice in a row. So, I mean, if they can get past the Celtics, the streak might go to 20.
Legit, yeah.
Because a lot of those other teams are not playing too good, so.
The interesting thing is I don't think, like, Donovan Mitchell is playing, like, crazy. Like, I think I've seen a bunch of really good stat lines from Darius Garland. It seems like him and Evan Mobley are playing really well.
Evan Mobley's averaging 18 points a game, which is his best in his career.
That's insane.
Donovan's averaging 25 and 4 assists, which
that's good, yeah.
Pretty good, but he's done better.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, he's a guy who could be a scoring title contender on a normal season.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Caris LeVert's getting you 12. Ty Jerome, out of nowhere, has become like one of the best backup point guards in the league. He's averaging 10 a game with like 3.5 assists. So,
oh my gosh.
Our boy from Utah State, Sam Merrill. Georges Niang, the minivan, he's doing really good.
Yes, sir.
So there's some guys on that team that we like. And yeah, I don't know. If they get past Celtics, it could be a good win streak.
It just really makes you wonder, like, you know, we hate to be the like, oh, what could have been. But like, it just makes you wonder, looking at this team, how they've built around Donovan Mitchell. And we don't know how it's going to go in the playoffs, but like, Maybe this is like what the Jazz were lacking, like, because we did kind of just have Donovan Mitchell as our main scorer and just a bunch of 3-point shooting. We didn't have a ton of like other scoring options.
Yeah,
really.
Jordan Clarkson.
Yeah,
probably one of the best ones.
That's true. But you know, Cleveland right now, they've got a bunch of guys that they can go to in big moments. It's not just Donovan Mitchell, so.
Yeah, and if Evan Mobley keeps this up, I think they're going to be good for a long time.
Absolutely.
Because his defense is already phenomenal. If he can score 18 a game and be able to find ways to score, that's going to help them out a lot. Yeah.
And last year, there was questions about whether Garland and Mitchell fit together. This year, it hasn't been a problem at all. So,
I think this might be in part due to a new head coach.
I think so.
Kenny Atkinson's doing a great job there. And I think he's a lot more... his offensive schemes seem to be working a lot better, at least so far. So that's been really good.
Absolutely.
And then also, we want to talk just briefly about the new city jerseys. Every team got one.
Yes, sir.
Jazz debuted theirs last night.
Yep, they did.
With the Mavericks, I think. So I think the Jazz is pretty much the exact same as the one last year, just a little bit different. Yeah. I like it, personally.
I think they're clean, yeah.
They're pretty clean. What do you think about some other teams? Maybe one that you love or a couple you love, and then maybe one or two that maybe aren't the greatest.
Yeah, I think Charlotte's is one of my favorite, to be honest. I just think it's like a really clean looking jersey. It's like kind of the, I don't know what you'd call that, like a powder blue or something.
Yeah.
Baby blue, like a lighter baby
teal.
Blue. Yeah. I just think those are really clean. I really like Oklahoma City's, especially like the pattern down the side. I think they just look really nice. There's a lot of these that are not very well thought out. I feel like the Hawks one, I know it's a throwback, but it's just not for me. The Bulls one seems weird to me. Like it doesn't really, if I saw that jersey and it didn't say Bulls, I wouldn't think it was a Bulls jersey, you know?
Right. Their jersey's hard to change because it's just so iconic with Jordan.
That's true.
Yeah, I'd say I really like the Jazz just because biased Jazz fan.
Absolutely.
There's just a lot of ones that are like okay.
Yeah.
I like the Raptors one because it's we heard about this with Vince Carter. His dunk is in the Raptors, so the Raptor is doing Vince Carter's dunk on the jersey through the legs.
That's pretty sweet.
I like that. And then, I don't know, there's just a lot of like mid jerseys. And then you've got like the Heat Culture jersey that I'm not a fan of.
So cringe.
The Lakers one says Lake Show on it, which is like okay. But yeah, I don't know how big of a fan I am of that. But maybe my favorite is actually the Minnesota one.
Oh, yeah.
It's got like this lake colorway, which makes sense for Minnesota.
Yeah.
That's probably my favorite one, I'd have to say. But a lot of them are just like, yeah, they're pretty cool.
Yeah.
Shout out to Nike for for making all of these. Absolutely. That's pretty cool that they were able to do that.
I feel like some of these are like ones you'd see in the 2K like create, like community creations jerseys.
Like just like, anybody made it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the ones with like the crazy gradients, like the Lakers ones and like who else, like Minnesota's one. I do like the look of it, but the gradient's just kind of crazy on it.
Right.
I don't know. It's just funny, but.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a couple jerseys that are like really boring. Like you mentioned, the Bulls, the Mavericks is just white with words on it. The Knicks is like double letters, which is kind of interesting. It's all right, but yeah, I mean, overall, I think they're a W. We always like to have some variety in there.
It's kind of fun that we've gotten to a point in the NBA where it's just kind of an every year thing. It kind of makes things interesting and fun.
Yeah,
you know. Well, last we checked last night, I think I checked before the 60-point game, you were killing me in fantasy. Or we were pretty close, I mean, but I'm assuming you're killing me now. Oh, no, it's still 5-4.
Yeah, I think I'm killing you in the categories. I'm winning. I'm up by a lot.
Points,
like,
yeah.
Points, I think I have 120 more.
Yeah, I don't think I could flip any of our categories other than maybe field goal percentage. You'd have to fall apart, probably.
Yeah.
So I think you've probably locked up
it's
the win.
It's tough because I got the 59-point game from Giannis and the 60-point game from De'Aaron. So
it's hard to come back.
Like
from
nobody
that.
Else is scoring that much in the NBA, even if they were on your team. So that's just the way this week went, I guess.
Yeah,
so
and I will say, you know, you may have heard me express some regret about trading Chet Holmgren in the past, but I will say, I knew all along. I told you guys this was going to happen. So Dame and Jaden Ivey are going to carry me to victory in the future. So,
well, I also got Colin Sexton on my team, so hopefully he does well against Sacramento tonight.
Oh,
so.
That's true, yeah.
We went to the Utah Hockey Club game last
night. Yes, we did. That was
first NHL game for me, and I think for you.
Yep.
Great environment. Oh, people are so loud, but it's fun.
Yeah.
A lot of Vegas Golden Knight fans pulled up.
Yep.
They made the drive from Vegas.
It was legit, probably half. I mean, maybe less than half.
I'd say maybe like 20%, but that's still pretty good.
There was a lot, but yeah, it was. We were talking during the game, like, this could be like a rivalry starting right in front of our eyes. That's probably what it's like. Vegas is like a 7-8 hour drive from Salt Lake, probably.
Right, yeah.
So, like, realistically, both fan bases could drive and see games at a different place.
Yeah, and I mean, the game was kind of a heartbreaker.
Yeah, it was.
Utah did a great job in the first two periods. They got up 2-0 and then 2-1, lost like 4-2, I think. But really, it seemed like the first half they were controlling the puck a lot more.
Absolutely.
They were more on the offensive end more on the defensive end. And then it just kind of flipped. Like, I feel like after we went up 2-0, we got complacent. And then they ended up taking advantage of that.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite player to watch on the ice? Or maybe you could say multiple if there's
a couple. I would say, like, even though, you know, it's hard to, you know, you want to blame the goalie. I thought Vezmelka, our goalie, Veggie, as we all called him, I thought he was really nice. In the first period, he saved like 5 in the first couple of minutes and then had like 10 more saves in the period. Like he was playing really well. They ended up scoring 3 goals on him though by the end. But, you know, I thought he played really well. Who stood out to you?
I mean, I love Mikhail Sergachev Sergachev. He's such a tall guy too. I didn't realize that for hockey. He's a tall guy.
Yeah.
He's a really good defender. He actually scored last night too.
Yeah,
so, absolute beast. And then I love Clayton Keller just because he's our captain. He's an all-star guy. You can tell he knows what he's doing when he's got the puck. So
yeah. Our rookie, Maverick Gamero, he played a lot actually.
Yeah, he was in the rotation quite a bit.
Yeah, we were hockey's just such a different, like, it's just so different from any other sport we kind of know. Just like the way the game works. Also the fans, like we took a picture before the game and there was some like Golden Knight fans that, you know, we exchanged taking pictures of each other. And it was just funny. Like they made a comment about us being in the other team. Like it's just, It's just such a different crowd.
It's a fun environment.
It's fun, yeah. It's much more rowdy, a lot more beer being drank.
Definitely a lot more beer, yeah.
So it was so fun. I thought the environment was so fun. Hockey's just an electric. When the team was coming out, like just the intimidating music and the lights and the...
That might have been like the best intro to a game that I've seen. Like, because they can put all the pictures on the ice, it reflects. Yep. And then like the players come out with like whatever hype song. And it's pretty cool. Even the like, national anthem, they put the flag as like projected onto the ice. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. I know there's already plans. I know as soon as the season ends that they're going to start renovating automatically. We had seats that were one goal view seats, and that was like not a joke. We could literally only see one goal.
So big, yeah.
We could, like, there's probably, what, maybe 10-20% of the ice that we just couldn't see at all.
Yep.
It wasn't even like a bad angle. It just was, we could not see it at all. Like, it was beneath us pretty much because we were in the upper bowl. So, that'll be good once they like move some things around and make things easier to see. It'll be interesting to, I hope that they'll make it so that every seat is viewable from the ice, but
I don't know how they'll do it, but I think people will catch on those seats are blocked, but I think this first season, I don't really think people care.
No,
They're going to buy tickets. It's going to get full. So
yeah, we were just excited to be there too. We got towels. So we were like rallying with everybody else. And yep. It was sick.
It's a great game.
Yeah.
And then it's been a week, but we didn't talk about this last episode because it hadn't happened. BYU snuck out of the Holy War with a win.
Yes, they did.
Just barely.
Yes, they did.
What was your like anxiety levels throughout the game?
Oh my gosh. That was a crazy game. BYU, I'm not saying because of the last minute, but I'm just saying in general, BYU did not deserve to win that game. Just like the way we play. Well, I guess it's hard because like we did shut them down defensively in the second half. Like our defense showed up the second half.
So did theirs.
Yes, it did.
Their defense showed up too.
They were locked in all game except for the last minute. But yeah, Jake Retzlaff. You know what? The thing about this is like BYU is finding ways to win no matter what situation right now. And that's like what good teams are able to do. A win is a win at the end of the day. Obviously, we would have preferred to blow them out like we were supposed to, but... Utah fans not very happy about that holding call at the end of the game.
I think you know when you do the Holy War, Utah BYU, you know this kind of stuff's going to happen every time, right?
Yep.
There's always going to be a penalty. I know there's been some for in Utah's favor in past years. So, I mean, it always feels like it kind of goes something similar to this. but that's what makes it exciting, right? It's always a close game. It's always highly contested. And BYU came out with a win this year. So I don't know if they have the schedule for next year. Do you know if they're going to play next year too?
I'm not sure it's come out yet, but
I don't know if they have. But
the thing is with the holding call, I could see, the thing is, I would be mad if I was a BYU fan and they made that call against us and we lost the game because of it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But the reality of sports, especially football, is that like if you allow the game to be close, then you subject yourselves to bad calls.
Right, and you always know there's so many plays in a football game. It's never going to come down to one play, but I understand the frustration.
I do too, yeah. We punted the ball and put them in like the 50-60-yard line like three times in the second half. Like, if they would have scored on any of those, we probably wouldn't even have been in a situation where holding would have mattered. The game would have been over at that point. And, there was the ghost face mask call earlier in the game where they called a face mask on BYU. And it
was his collar, right?
It was, he had his arm wrapped around him.
I also think BYU just, this was our own unfortunate thing, but just at the halftime, we had like that 10-second runoff for a false start where we could have probably got a field goal.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like huge, right? If we got a field goal before half, it would have been a different game. So
yeah, that last drive would have been us kneeing the ball rather than like trying
exactly.
to get down
the field. Yeah, exactly. So there's just a lot of moving parts in a game. It's never going to come down one play, but so man, true. It kind of felt like it did.
That was wild.
After that holding call, we got down the field, and that kind of helped us out.
And Utah athletic director wasn't very happy. Got fined $40K for it.
He was pretty mad, and I think he apologized.
I think so,
but crazy game. Now all our statues are unwrapped. Yep. We moved on.
Ready to go.
We're moving on to Kansas this week. Tonight, you think we're going to get a win?
I think so.
Even in the snow, possibly?
Yeah, I think snow benefits us more than them, especially even though we haven't played any snow games this year. Our players have practiced in snow before, probably, I would hope.
Yeah.
At least throughout the year. So hopefully they're a little more acclimated, know how to prep for a snow game, you know.
Being undefeated, BYU's ranked number 6.
Yep.
To be able to make the Big 12 championship, we could lose another game out of these next three and still be in there. So let's not lose this one because it's at home.
Yeah.
But we can drop a game. So
yeah, especially 8:15 game. Yeah, BYU's in the driver's seat. This week, if all of the chips fall where they're supposed to, BYU could lock up a spot in the conference championship game this week with a win.
Yeah.
But I think Utah has to beat Colorado, and I'm not sure that that's going to happen, but it could happen. And then also as of right now, we're a 3 seed in the college football playoffs if it started today.
Pretty sweet.
So anyways, just pretty exciting stuff happening in Provo. Maybe not so exciting in Salt Lake, but hockey. Hockey's exciting.
Oh, yeah.
So,
and 2 Jazz wins. Yeah. Yeah,
that's right. Well, thank you so much for joining us in our episode this week. We really do appreciate you spending your time with us. Don't forget to check out our past episodes to hear about our past games and our experience at Jazz games and things like that. Pretty exciting. You can find those on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, really wherever you like to listen. You can find us there. And we hope that you take care.
Peace.